Hey everybody, you are listening to Gaming My Whole Life. This is your host George, and I have my co-host Jamil. Jamil, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for asking. It's fantastic to be here after the Easter long weekend.
Indeed. Did you have a good time, or at the very least, enjoy not working for a bit?
Both. We spent the day together. That was nice. What was it we were watching? We were binge watching Nailed It. That was pretty awesome.
Yes, on Netflix. So that was pretty a lot more entertaining than it should have been.
Yeah, it'd be funny if you could do like a video game version of Nailed It. It's like you show someone this really awesome game and see what version of it they could come up with. It's like stick figures running around playing PUBG or something like that.
Oh my goodness, that would be hilarious. Like, here's a game we designed in an hour. You have 10 minutes. Go. for those listening, and obviously if you can hear us, you are listening.
We hope so.
Nailed it. Yes, right? Then otherwise, how can you hear us? So many questions.
Oh my god.
But the TV show Nailed It, which I think is an exclusive to Netflix. Yes, it is. Is basically, you know how like you go on the internet and you see a picture of some really fancy looking food. Mm. Like it just looks chef material or a home cook who actually knows what they're doing. And then you have someone's horrible attempt at replicating it. And then they'll take a picture and post it online. They're like, nailed it. And it's like, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. Well, they did a whole show on it, and yeah, me, Jamel, and both of our partners, we just spent Saturday afternoon eating chicken and watching the show and laughing.
Yes,
so
it was excellent, and we ate Gammy. So if Netflix and Gammy are looking for sponsor opportunities, we're always open.
Exactly. Like what we're trying to say is, if you want to give us money, we'll take it. Exactly. Before we get into today's topics, I wanted to clear some air, actually. Hmm. On our last podcast, so not the reaction cast, on Red Faction Guerrilla Remake, which I'm so excited, but we're going to quickly move past that before I discuss it again. We discussed how I feel and how you feel about online streamers. Hmm. And, you know, I discussed... Well, basically, I spoke to a couple friends after the podcast who had listened to it, and they said that I may have unintentionally given the impression that I was actually bagging people who watch game streamers. Mm. Like, one went as far to say, you know, look, it probably wasn't your intention, but for me, it felt like you were maybe suggesting whoever watches streamers aren't proper gamers. And I just wanted to clarify this straight away, because this show is not about bagging anyone, bringing anyone down.
Of course. I mean, we have a group called Positive Gaming Space.
Well, exactly. We literally run a Facebook group dedicated, you know, to a feel-good gaming area. Mm. And I took to that space, actually, and I made a post, and I'm actually going to read it out word by word.
Sure.
Just because, you know, I feel I articulated how I felt, and I wanted to clear up, you know, like if I accidentally offended anyone or gave the impression that, you know, I think less of you because you're a streamer or you watch streams, not my intention at all. So my official response was, so off the Positive Gaming Space, it's been brought to my attention that I may have sent the wrong message in a previous podcast, specifically the one I discussed game streamers. Allow me to clarify, I do not think poorly or claim you are not a gamer if you watch streams. My intent was to say that within the group, some are not gamers, and it would be great if they could join us in on the fun if a more easy mode was available. So that's literally talking to people who watch streams who actually aren't gamers. I'm not saying you're a gamer and you watch streams and so I'm downgrading you and you're demoted and you're no longer a gamer.
Hmm.
I'm referring to those that are legit self-confessed non-gamers. Like, they don't play games, they don't know how to do it, and they enjoy watching streams. And my suggestion was, hey, that's a bit of a potential target audience there, you know? It would be awesome if we could get them on board, because as a passionate gamer, and I'm sure you would agree with me on this point, Jamel, is you can never have too many gamers. Like, I just like the idea of more people playing games, you know?
No, and I remember when when we were recording that podcast, like I had listened back to it afterwards, and there's that part where like, I remember when you said that, and I just got to go and like what, like streamers aren't, oh, sorry, people who watch streams aren't real gamers or something to that effect, and I think it's one of those things of when we were recording it, I sort of had that immediate reaction, but as we spoke more, obviously it was a you know. It was very clear that that's not what you meant. It's just, you know, sometimes when you're recording in this kind of medium, you say the first thing that pops into your head, and you know, the idea you have in your head isn't what exactly what comes out of your mouth. So I guess it's just one of those things we have to be careful about.
Exactly. And you know, as a new podcast, that's you know, we'll learn from any mistakes that may potentially have been done and move forward. So yeah, thanks for hearing us out. Now, moving on, we do have gaming news which we wanted to discuss. And accidental segue, so I'm really happy because for once it's a real segue as opposed to me just saying the word, and that is in that Facebook group, Positive Gaming Space. I was thinking about, what should we discuss? And I thought, hang on, we have like you know a small group of dedicated gamers here. Let's hear what they have to say. And so I made a little post. It was basically saying, you know, hey guys, what do you reckon we should discuss? You know, one of our future podcasts, and you know, we'll credit you on air. That was sort of the deal. And we got a few responses, and Jamil and I thought it would be fun to you know, quote some of these suggestions and have a little bit of a discussion. Jamil, do you have the group open on your phone? Did you
I do.
wanna read out our first topic suggestion
Okay, so
and who made the post as well?
absolutely. So the first post was made by Mike Bird, and his question, or it's more of a statement, isn't it? He says, "The loss of single player offline games, or that saving to a physical drive is much more practical than saving on the cloud." So let's.
It does come off as more of a statement, but there's two there. So I'll let you take the first one to start off with, mate. Do you reckon there is a loss of single player offline games, or what Mike means by that?
From what I can tell, he either means that there's because you know the internet's become so prevalent and ubiquitous out there that every computer has an internet connection, so every game you play is hooked up in some way to the web internet. And you know, I'm not sure if he's talking about their kind of validation so they can make sure you're not you haven't pirated the game. I'm just going to assume he's talking about games like PUBG Battlegrounds and League of Legends, Dota, and stuff like that.
I don't think he's talking about actual online games, just because of his choice of wording, saying the loss of single player offline games. So I think what Mike might be referring to is I think he's talking about, for example, if you buy a game off Steam or Uplay or any of those clients, even if it's single player, it's still required that you have an online connection. Like some single player games you can't even play unless you're connected to the internet.
That is annoying.
So I think that's what, it is, and I think Mike obviously agrees with us because it was it was his suggestion. Look, Mike, it would definitely be annoying. It is annoying, and the one thing which I always personally think about, and Jamil, you can let me know if you agree or not, is when I see any sort of requirement, straight away I think of, all right, what about the people who can't meet those requirements? What about people with really slow internet or no internet? That's the one that terrifies me the most.
Yeah,
Like,
that's it's kind of a weird spot, right? Like you get so used to the idea, like you know, you and I are in Australia, so even if the internet is horrible, it's still basically everywhere and readily available. But
yeah, you Americans have it so much better than
yeah,
us. Like,
jerks.
just look up, compare our internet speed to yours. And you'll just be like, how do you function? And our answer is, we don't have a choice. But continue, I'm pushing my jealousy aside. Well done, Americans.
So the I guess it's annoying, but at the same time, you don't want to go back to the old days of how, you know, CD keys being basically useless form of privacy and for, you know, and game companies and software providers wanting to put, like, you know, like code on your computer that tracks everything. So it's kind of one of those things where I'll be like, okay, fine, I'll connect my computer to the internet just to play a game, just so I don't have to put up with stupid Palladium stuff. So Palladium, from memory, is like, it's like DRM stuff, but not just for programs, it's like for your whole computer, basically. So if I have to, it's sort of one of those sacrifices, or necessary sacrifices, I think, even if I don't like it, just because piracy in the early to late 90s and early 2000s was ridiculous, and I don't want to go back to that.
Okay, fair enough. So you don't see it as an outright evil that, you know...
I do, but...
Most games need a single player. Like, I know we like to play both sides of the fence, but if you're on one side of that fence, that's fine to say. Like, this conversation's for us to say our opinions, you know?
Mm.
And if you're against it, mate, say it. Because, trust me, I'm not holding back when it's my turn to talk.
Yeah, I mean, I agree it's annoying, and I'd rather not, but I don't want to go back to the old days of how they used to try to do, you know, piracy stuff, because it was useless. And I'd rather, you know, I want game companies that I like to make money, so...
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just going to have to eat that one.
No, that's that's fine. This is our opinion, buddy. Like, there's no right or wrong answer. You know, from those that's probably picked up on my tone, I'm with Mike, you know, and yourself. I don't like the idea of always having to be connected to the internet, because, you know, if you don't have good internet, if you have slow internet, it's a little bit annoying. I understand the piracy debate, and obviously the harder you make piracy, the better. But that being said, though, there is one truth which I've always felt with piracy, and that is those that are going to do it are going to do it. And why should those who want to do the right thing and are willing to pay money have to pay the price for the pirates?
Mm.
Because I haven't, you know, like, I haven't been down that road since, like, I was a kid, you know? Like, ever since I became an adult and actually had money, I never did that sort of thing. But, you know, I know of plenty of adults who, they will not buy, you know?
Mm.
It's just easy for them to do it, and they don't need to be a hacker to do it. There's always someone else doing the hard work. They always know some random website who gets the games. And yeah, like you though, that being said, I don't support it, because developers need to make money, so then they feel good about the product they brought out, so then they bring out an awesome sequel. And as a Nintendo fan who gets, you know, who's been getting sequels since like 30 years ago, I want that to keep happening, you know? Moving on to Mike's second point, because I remember it was broken up in half, is he said, or that saving to a physical drive is much more practical than saving on a cloud. And yes, it is definitely more practical. Like, the hard drive's there, you don't need to upload anything, and it's quicker. But I also see the benefits of the cloud save, because naturally, if something happens to your hard drive, say your console or your PC gets corrupted, if it's just saved physically on there, you lose that data.
Mm.
But if it's on a cloud, you can re-download that. And that's a complaint which I've heard put forth against the Switch. If I'm not mistaken, at this time, they don't have cloud saves. And so anyone who's been unfortunate enough to just have a buggy system, not that the system's buggy, but in any production line, you know, you will always have some bugs come out. And, you know, people who have contacted Nintendo customer service support, they're like, yeah, they were really nice and all that, but, and like, they were wonderful. But that aside, there wasn't anything they can do.
Yeah, it sucks, you know? Right?
It does. So... I think I don't have a preference. It sounds like Mike does, and that's fine. You know, power to you. But yeah, personally, I like the idea of both of them. I don't want one to replace the other. I don't want cloud saves. I don't want to rely on this magical cloud and on the internet. I don't like that. I want it physically there, but I want them working together. You know, like a good co-op game. It's what you want.
Okay.
All right, so moving on, I'll read out this one. So this is by Jack Matheson, and if I have mispronounced your last name, that's on me.
If it's Matheson, then hope you'll forgive us.
Well, there you go. If it's Matheson, Jamel said it right. So between the two of us, what actually will be really funny if like he sends us a message later and he's like, none of you's got it right. It's pronounced this way.
Yeah,
It's like, really?
it's Matt Heason. God, geez, guys, like, who hasn't heard of a Matt Heason before?
Oh my God, now you put that in my head. Like, it's totally that. That could totally be it. But moving on, we're professionals. A little bit. Okay, so Jack said, how about Australia trying to scare parents with Fortnite because old people reasons? I love how he ended that. He didn't elaborate. He just said, because old people reasons. And I'm like, that just sums up the majority of like all game debate. Every time, you know, there's a news coverage or in Australia we have a current affair who they never have anything nice to say about games. And yeah, because old people reasons. So
Do you remember what they
I'll
actually
start
said?
this off.
Like,
Yeah, he actually says it because old people
no.
reasons.
What I meant was, do you remember what a current affair actually said?
Oh, I don't remember it word by word, but basically it was saying that, you know, our kids are addicted to this game. We can't get them to stop playing it, and they're spending money and this and that, and you know, basically anything which becomes a phenomenon, you know, in the gaming world, like PUBG. You know,
Sure.
PUBG came out, everyone knows about that, and then Fortnite came and just blew everyone away, and you know, that's blowing up to be just as big, if not bigger. And parents are concerned that, oh no, they're spending so many hours playing this, you know? And like, what are we gonna do? And damn these games, and blah blah, old people
Yeah,
reasons.
right.
So Jack nailed that. And to be honest, I don't think this is anything new. Like, the news and social media does have a habit of trying to scare, you know, parents about their kids. You know, obviously everyone wants their kids to be educated and to move forward in life. And if you're not a gamer and, you know, you have a child and they're spending a ridiculous amount of hours playing games, then yeah, that would worry you if you don't know any better. And these news programs are taking advantage of that fear. What do you have to say about all this, mate?
Well, look, I agree with a lot of what you said, so I'm not gonna repeat it. So I'm actually going to talk about another podcast I listen to that talks about something similar to what you're talking about there. So it's called The Sounding Board, and it's done by Craig Hutchison, who's sort of like a media power broker, who's actually paying attention to esports a bit, but that's beside the point. And he's joined by this guy, Damian Barrett, who's like a more sort of traditional conservative sports reporter. And they talk about media issues, and what invariably comes up a lot is how social media and informs, you know, it basically drives newspapers and newspaper websites to do clickbait articles, because basically they put out the clickbait articles because people click on them, and you know, and basically people click on them because it's clickbait, and it's this cycle of how people pay attention to things and how they make money. So that, you know, you make these, you've got these big headlines that draw people. So you're like, this game is stealing your kid's brain, and parents are like, oh God, oh God, oh God, and they click on it. So I mean,
It's sad, but it's true. You just summed it up perfectly.
yeah, basically, and it's just because, you know, parents worry about their kids and they want their kids to have something of a good life and don't want their brain to fall over their ears because they're playing some game called Fortnite. To be honest, I hadn't even heard of Fortnite until you mentioned it to me the other day. Because
No, you actually managed to avoid knowing about
I had
Fortnite?
the first time I'd heard about it was when we talked about it on that podcast, a few podcasts ago. I'd never heard of
I'm
Fortnite before.
genuinely impressed how you managed to avoid that.
Oh, just
Wow.
I've got like just
How dare you be like an adult and like recycle and stuff?
But here's the reality. Like I remember when that article on the current affair came out, I made a post on the Facebook, on their Facebook, that got a few likes. I was like, step one, pay attention to what your kids do and control, you know, and step two was control your kids. You know, when I was a kid.
Okay, you lost like half.
I know,
of
right?
That second.
I know,
point.
Right? Taking some responsibility. I swear, like the generation they're talking about, the baby boomers. I'm getting off topic here, but staying on topic, sort of. They are such like lazy, don't take any responsibility, do nothings. Oh God. But I may have just slagged the whole generation with a broad brush. But basically, when I was a kid, there was a rule: if there was sunlight outside, I wasn't playing my Super Nintendo or my computer. I was playing outside. It's a pretty basic rule. When it's raining and cloudy out there, you know, and it's cold and that, then you can play video games. If there's sunlight, jump on your bike, do something, go in the backyard. It's not hard.
Yeah, it is a little bit of a tougher climate. Not that I'm interested in defending any parent who isn't interested in looking in, you know, overseeing what their child does. But that being said, though, naturally you can't keep your eye on them 24/7. And unlike how we had it when we were young, you had the main TV in the lounge room, you had the game console, and that was it. Whereas you can actually play Fortnite on your mobile phone. Like, unless the kids are stripped down of all electronics, sent to the corner, like, you can't actually control that aspect. Not that it doesn't mean they get a free ride and they shouldn't try. Parents should absolutely monitor and know what their kids are playing. And if something makes you nervous, you should research. Like, oh, I'm hearing about this Fortnite.
Or turn off the Wi-Fi. Or don't buy your kids a 4G data plan.
There is a lot of small steps. But, like, just educate yourself, you know. Everyone, at the very least, even if you're not tech savvy, knows how to use Google. Type in Fortnite. See what the game is about. Yeah. See if there's anything in there which is not appropriate.
Yeah, but
and you're good to go. Don't freak out at you know, clickbait. Yeah,
but the basis of all video games is conflict, right? Because it's easy to design a game around. You know, unless you're playing Tetris, every single game has conflict, even Mario, because you're jumping on things' heads and making them explode. But
it's true, you're killing a lot of Goombas. Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on to the next topic before we get any further derailed. So yep. Aubrey Eaton has asked us, or Aubrey Eaton has asked us, said, we should talk about adding Goku from Dragon Ball Z to the Super Smash Bros. Roster. I'm for it. Cool, let's do it.
It's done. Make it out.
Yeah, I mean, there's something I've learned from reading comics, okay, is that there are no dumb ideas, there's only poor execution.
Oh, that is really well said, actually. Execution does play a large role. And what's cool, though, is Smash Bros. Is a sort of game which you can chuck in any character in there, as long as it makes sense somehow, and obviously you edit it. I'm obviously clearly on board with this, because I actually replied to Aubrey, and my words, to be exact, would be, he would own everyone, sunglasses, smiling face. It's like, anyone who watches Dragon Ball Z and Dragon Ball Super, if you're up to, you know, the most current state of affairs, would know just how much of a fighting beast he is. Like, it's actually unfair to even include him in the roster. But
please, Captain Falcon, yes, would punch him would across the screen.
Okay, can Captain Falcon, like, punch a mountain down?
Sure he can, he's Captain Falcon. He's got Falcon Punch.
I don't know much about Captain Falcon, so I don't know if you're just rolling with this or if he can actually do
that. I have no idea. As far as I knew, Captain Falcon flew a plane. I don't know where any of this Falcon Punch stuff came from. I'm just like, cool, Falcon Punch, let's do it. But yeah, I mean, like, you could literally, like, you know, if you're in Super Smash Bros., any character can punch any other character across the screen, period. You can balance it. It's not hard. You know what I mean? There are characters who shoot things across the screen. Like, you know, basically, there would be easy ways to do it that would make sense.
Oh, he's totally compatible, absolutely. Right. Like, if they had the legal rights to, like, get Goku in there or other Dragon Ball Z fighters. Mm. Cool. I don't see it happening, but that being said, ever since the launch of the Switch, Nintendo has been doing some unexpected partnering with other developers. So who knows what the future holds.
Well, even a game like Tekken 7, we've got characters from all different kinds of games just turning up on that game, you know, so.
Oh yeah, it's been done before, and that's why the idea is exciting. Because if the companies talk to each other, you can absolutely be like, hey, you want to put my character in your game?
Yeah.
It's like, yes, fans would love that. We'll move on from this topic. But thank you to everyone, you know, in our Facebook group who, you know, replied to that message and gave us your suggestions. You know, we absolutely love connecting with you guys. And yeah, just love that that community which we've built and is growing each day. Yeah. Like, I get new member requests all the time. It's actually quite awesome. It is. But
we do really appreciate all of your... even if I made a joke about you being 10 people. But, like, seriously, though. like, we really do appreciate everyone's support and participation in the Positive Gaming Space group on Facebook. And if you aren't a member, you should definitely jump in. I don't post a whole lot into it myself. But I do always read it. You know, even if I'm not continuously up to date, I do make some time when I am free to actually go through it and read a lot of the posts.
Yeah, cheers. Glad you do, mate. And I'm the one who's always posting on there, and we come up with different subjects and different conversations. So, yeah, it's just a fun place to be. Now, moving on to the final topic is anyone who listens to the show and has listened to even more than just one... would know that if we get the opportunity to bank microtransactions, EA, anything that relates to value for money with gaming, exactly, we have been all over that. And that being said, I have a bit of a confession to make, Jamel. I bought a game. I bought it, I got the full product, and then I spent extra money on it.
I'm shocked.
After I spent extra money. I broke, and that's why I wanted to discuss this. And before the microtransaction lovers rejoice, one, you were so listening to the wrong podcast. Like, no one should be rejoicing. what's actually happened is I've mentioned this game before. I bought XCOM 2, and I love it. I'm not going to get into the details. It's a good game. That being said, though, I recently beat the game. And, you know, I experienced what many gamers experience, and that is that, you know, that little bit of sadness you get when you're satisfied that you beat a game. You're like, job well done. But just like a good book, you're like, now what?
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't ready for that adventure to end, and I was looking around to see what other alternative games I could get, and I did find some. But then I came back to XCOM 2, and I'm like... oh, if only. And then an option which I often forget exists hit me. I'm like, hang on, DLC. I'm like, I'll have a look. Like, I wasn't even happy with myself. I, like, dragged my feet. I'm like, all right, Steam. let's have a look at the DLC. And I found a DLC, which it definitely wasn't cheap at all.
Yeah.
It was a good $40 American. So it definitely wasn't a few bucks or anything.
$40.
Yeah. So it wasn't small by any means. But I had a look to see what that's made up of. And I realize it nails what my value for the dollar is when we talk about microtransactions. We talk about how we don't like the idea of, you know, paying extra real world money for in-game currency. Or paying for things which... didn't actually cost the developers any extra time or resources. You know, like content that's hidden from you. It's already on the game disc, but you have to pay to access it. And but this DLC, it gives you an expanded story. It gives you a lot of extra features. It gives you props. It gives you extra character classes. So that expands your options. And it's done in a cool way where you get to replay the game from the start, but there's heaps of changes along the way, which makes it feel quite fresh. And I compared that to, you know, the shady practice of microtransactions, being like, if this was, and they're an easy target, but until EA does better, I'm gonna nail in on them. I'll defend them when they actually do good, but I haven't seen that yet. And that is, if this was EA, then every single class I'd have to pay separately for. I'd have to pay $10. Every single propped, I'd have to pay extra and extra. And I'm not saying that microtransactions for this game don't exist. When I had a look through the DLC section, I saw a lot of sub-purchases that you could add much more smaller content to the game, which that I wasn't interested in. But the whole bundle of like, here, we made a whole bunch of stuff. There's a whole bunch of things in here. There's new character models. There's new textures. There's new animations. There's all this stuff, you know?
Absolutely.
And like, you know, continue. And I like that because of how it happened. And how it happened was I wasn't playing XCOM. And then, you know, every time I hit the pause screen, I'd get this market pop up saying, buy this, buy that. There was none of that. I never played XCOM and felt that I was missing out because I wasn't spending extra money. So I enjoyed the game and spent a ridiculous amount of hours, like Dead Set 70, 80 hours or something.
On the new DLC content, right?
No, just on the main game. Sure. So I was already invested, and you know what? If a developer releases a game which you've enjoyed, you feel you've gotten every dollar's worth that you put in there, and they're like, hey, if you like this, how about we expand that experience? How about you get a bit more and support us further? I'm like, right, take my money. You know? You didn't do it in a shoddy way. It's, hey, if you want this experience to go further, we have that option for you.
So that takes me back to what we were talking about in the past, right, where people, you know, are going on about how they don't want microtransactions, but they still want new content for their game and they still want their game to be supported. So whether that's content patches or, in this case, extra mission content, DLC. Now, I've actually heard of this DLC you're talking about. From what I understand, it's called War of the Chosen. And there's so much content in it that they've basically said it's like XCOM 2.5 or just about. It could have basically almost been the basis of XCOM 3. That's how much stuff there is in that DLC. And it's actually, from what I'm told, is that the team at Firaxis Games, who makes XCOM 2 and the XCOM series, aren't entirely happy with the director of that DLC package. His name is Jake Solomon. Just because they've basically said they've come up with all this new stuff, new models, new narrative, all this extra stuff on top of it, you know, and there's cinematics with that as well, where it's and so much new content that they're like, you've basically had us release XCOM 3 as a DLC, and you know that takes time, money, resources, you know.
Oh, I hadn't heard of
that.
To be honest, they've sorry to interrupt, but the team is being a little bit too sensitive, because yes, it does add a lot of content, you know, but it's content that merges with the already existing game. Like, it definitely isn't, you know, XCOM 3, because it runs parallel with the XCOM experience. So, like, you play the base game, which is already there, but then add a node between missions, you'll get a new one, you know? And so there's nice pieces like that. So I think that were a bit too harsh on him, but I'll let you continue. Just really want to give my opinion there.
Yeah, I mean, look, as a gamer, completely agree with you. It's like, don't care, give me cool stuff. But I imagine if you're like the staff of a game who wanted a break, you know, essentially being given a whole like 2/3 of another game to make, you know what I mean? Like if that was your job and you worked at Firaxis, I imagine you'd be sitting there going like, oh my god, come on, Jake, I'm meant to go take like vacation, go for, you know, spend a week in Mexico or something. Oh, well, wherever it is Firaxis are at, you know. So, you know, I try to I when I heard that, I was like thinking to myself, okay, imagine if I worked in that building, would I, you know, would I crack it a bit at having to basically build, you know, another two-thirds of a game? I probably would, because I can't imagine that the production cycle of a game is anything short of grueling.
Oh yeah, it would, but it's your job. Like, you would want to continue to be employed by the company and do work. We don't know if it actually, you know, interrupted, you know, time off or how much time and space existed between the main game and, you know, the DLC. Personally, I think it just sounds like, you know, maybe a bit of greed or something.
Probably.
Because you're getting a lot of value, but the thing is, you earn respect with that. Like, I wouldn't have bought that DLC if it didn't include so much content, you know? But I looked at it, and I'm like, this doesn't feel like a ripoff. And that, for me, is what it comes down to, you know? There's no worse feeling in the world than being a gamer and either buying a game outright, a full one, or a DLC, or even a microtransaction, and then you do it and you're not even sure if you should have spent as much as you did.
But, like, say for example, you know, there's like, you know, a year passes from now and they announce XCOM 3 and it finally comes out, and then the XCOM 3 they come out with is subpar compared to 2 and this DLC, because that resource and that IP got burned on a DLC package. You know what I mean? So, you know, would that make you feel more disappointed about XCOM 3?
No, not at all. Like, as long as it's still a fun game and it isn't a copy and paste of XCOM 2, then I would be fine with it. You know, I understand your point of view, where, like, because you have two options. When you release a game, you can A, release DLC and expand it, and then, you know, try and make some more money that way, or you cannot do that and put all those features in an awesome sequel. And in my opinion, I'm just even more invested in the game. I'm now, by the time I finish this DLC, would have entered into the 100 hour zone of time spent. And the moment they announce a XCOM 3, I'm pre-ordering that. I spend my spare time hunting down similar games that are like XCOM 2. Yeah. So,
no, I get it. It's just that I was just trying to put my, you know, if I worked on in that office hat, that's all.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's fine. Those hats that you wear are very powerful. It puts you in a different mindset. Like, how would they think about it? And I hadn't considered that. So, you know, good job with your hat.
I just try to, like, think of it, like, imagine, you know, like, you know, because we all have our day jobs, and you sit there and go, like, oh, this is crap. You know, the manager's an idiot kind of thing. And then, not that my manager's an idiot, he's great. If you're out there, Andrew, I love you.
We love you, Andrew.
And basically, you know, it's just one of those things of, you know, what if they had this great idea that could have been XCOM 3 and it could have had a whole game dedicated to it, and XCOM, the actual XCOM 3 that comes out now, doesn't have that same kind of hard work or talent or the good ideas put into it because bloody Jake decided to chuck it into XCOM 2's DLC, you know what I mean?
To be honest, I have a good answer to that, and it is actually a good one, and that is, if they don't think they can put together good enough content for another sequel, that sequel shouldn't exist.
Okay, no, that's fair. I mean, I'm sure the guys at Firaxis are going like, no, shut up, George. I like having a job.
I want them to have a job. I love their game and their work. I wish I knew them all by name and, like, what they did. Like, I would love to be able to personally contact everyone that works on a game that I love and be like, hey, man, I was playing the other day and I was beside this tree. That tree, it looked amazing. And I know you're the guy that textured that.
Well, George, funny about that.
Like, how cool would that
be? You could go to the credits at the end of the game and look them all up on Twitter.
Oh, I can, but it doesn't say specifically what they did. It would be like, this guy is one of the modelers, or he's one of the texturers. It doesn't have in brackets for people like me The tree guy.
By the way.
The guy who did the stone.
We are not telling you to stalk the office workers at Fire Access Games. No. Naughty.
All right, awesome, mate. We've been talking for a while, and listeners, I think it's time we bid you farewell. So you've been listening to Gaming My Whole Life. You've been listening to George, Lemmy, and Jamel, hello. The other funny guy that's been talking and said hello.
That's so nice of you. I'm funny. Thank you.
I have my moments. I'm sure I'll be an ask to you later, and then like you just forget what I said now. It's like, remember that time you were nice to me, and I'm like, no.
No, I don't.
No, I don't. All right, see you, okay, everyone. Bye. Bye-bye.